So if you have been following along, we are in Acts chapter 21. Last Sunday, we finished up the questions. Carla jinxed me, and we did not get all the way through it and into 22. But to make matters worse, tactically, we didn't even finish the questions and our homework, right? Because there's something that we have not done yet. Anybody know what that is? Voila, our charts, our maps, all right? And I sent those out last week, all right, in an email to everybody. But if you do not have a printer or you failed to print it and you would like a copy, I have them now. We're going to go through them this morning. So would anybody like either one? Okay. One or both? Okay. Oh, thank you. So I have not gotten any complaints about going through these charts, so I'm going to assume that they are beneficial for you. I know that they've been beneficial for me because this is the first time I've done it. So I will give you a minute or so for Rodney to get those passed out and give you a chance to get those written. I will go ahead and send out this completed list out on the in an email, on the wire, whatever, to everybody, because there's so many people that are gone that would like to have them. So those will be in your email box this week sometime. I am going to send the email out first and encourage everybody to do it themselves and then come back and check the email that I sent. But anyway, those will go out this week. So, as Paul has always done, he starts off in Antioch. And again, there's two Antiochs. So which Antioch is this? Antioch of Syria, not Antioch of Pisidia, which is where Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" All right? And so this is the start of his journey. And for his traveling companions, there were none mentioned, right? It just says Paul left. In fact, we know that he has traveling companions, but where's the first time we even hear of him having any traveling companions? Anybody remember? Ephesus is the very first time we hear of him even having traveling companions. So we don't know if these traveling companions left with him from Antioch, or he left and they joined up later. Luke doesn't tell us. He just says all of a sudden he had traveling companions that he sent, right? So again, we're starting off in chapter 18. And if you remember, in chapter 18, Luke basically just says, well, he spent some time in Antioch, verse 23. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successfully through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So it's, he doesn't make a big deal about the fact that he's heading out again, right? And if you are somebody who writes in your Bible like I do, I've got written off to the side in at chapter 18, verse 23, third missionary journey starts, and then 21 and 17, which is where it ends. So the events then are going to be, after spending some time there at Antioch, he leaves on his third journey. All right, so then where do we go? Where does Luke say that he went? What would be the next city or region? Verse 23, where did he go from Antioch? I don't have Celeste here, so somebody's got to step up for. I heard something. Verse 23, and having spent some time there, he left and passed successfully through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So this, what I have down here for city would be Phrygian and Galatian region, all right? Time there. Unknown, he didn't say, he just says that he passed through the region. Traveling companions, again, none were mentioned. Chapter is going to be 18 still. And it says specifically strengthening the disciples. All right, where does he head to next? So while Paul is going through the Galatian and Phrygian region, verse 23, Luke leaves Paul and talks about who? He talks about Apollos. Where is Apollos? Verse 24. He's in Ephesus. And Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, but he didn't quite have it right. So Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Verse 26. Again, during all this time, Paul is in the Phrygian and Galatian region, heading west. Eventually, where does Paul end up? Chapter 19, verse 1. He ends up in Ephesus. So the next city there is going to be Ephesus. How about time there? And you may have something different than what I've got, and that would be okay. How long was he in Ephesus? A little louder? No, he is in Corinth for 3 months, though. What does verse 10 say? He says he was there 2 years. However, we talked about this. When Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem on this journey, he stops in Miletus, calls for the elders, and how long does Paul say he labored among them there? Chapter 20 and verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Okay, so if you looked at it just in the chapter and you said, oh, well, he was there 2 years, totally get it, you're probably fine. However, a little fuller picture based on Paul's own words, he said he labored there with him night and day for 3 years, all right? And who were his traveling companions? And I just realized I got an error up here. Who were his traveling companions? Anybody? All right. What does verse 22 say his traveling companions were? Verse 22, he's in Ephesus. And he says, Luke says, and having sent into Macedonia two of those who administered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. So we know at least Timothy and Erastus were with him. But who else? You're not going to find it in the chapter. Again, we talked about this. In order to piece together who he was traveling with, you have to go to some of his letters. Luke is with him eventually, but he's not with him yet. Not Silas. Nope. You did say Silas, right? Yeah, it's not Silas. It's Titus. He's getting ready to leave, and I have a mistake up here. I have Troas, because I got my brain mixed up when I did this. Well, maybe I don't have Titus up there. Dave, would you do me a favor and hit that space bar for me, please? Okay, well, apparently there's a problem. So it's Timothy, Erastus, and Titus, and it's chapter 19, And as far as events go, that's where the mob was formed with Demetrius and the craftsmen. Okay. So from Ephesus, all right, the very next one, what city does he go to? And again, you're not going to find it in chapter 19. You're going to have to go and find it in the epistles, 2 Corinthians, and we talked about this during this journey. Where does he head to next? What city does he go to? Anybody? Not yet. He's headed there, though. Not yet. He's headed there as well. He gets to Macedonia before he gets to Greece. Paul, from Ephesus, writes a letter to who? What church? Paul writes a letter to the church at Corinth, from Ephesus. Remember, he's there for 3 years. While he's there, he writes a church at Ephesus. He finds out the church there has problems, lots of problems. One of the problems was a man had his father's wife. They had questions about divorce and remarriage. They had all kinds of problems. Paul addresses this letter, and he's pretty stern with them. He's worried about how they received that letter. So what does he do? Anybody remember? He sends somebody to find out how they received his letter. Who does he send? Somebody turn over to 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. This will tell us who he sends in order to find out how the church at Corinth received a letter. The letter? Titus. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. I had no rest. I'm sorry. When I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. Okay? So he goes from Ephesus, he writes a letter to Corinth, and he's worried about how they take it. So he sends Titus, hey, Titus, go check and see how they received it. He's worried sick. When he finally decides, okay, it's time to leave Ephesus, he heads off to Troas, and apparently they had talked about rendezvousing possibly in Troas, or at least, you know, all the way back. He gets to Troas, he's worried sick about Corinth, he gets there, he's not there, I'm moving on. Even though the Lord opened a door to preach, he says, I got to go find Titus. I got to find out how they received the letter. From Troas, then he goes up into Macedonia, and he preaches in the Macedonian area. While he's there, he meets up with Titus, and he's relieved to find that the saints there received it well. They love him, and they look forward to receiving him and seeing him. All right, so there you go. He's in Troas, a time there. It sounds like it's maybe just a day or two while he's looking for Titus. Doesn't mention any traveling companions that are with him. And then it's chapter 19, looking for Titus when he sent to Corinth, 2 Corinthians 2, 12. All right? Where does he go to next? We just mentioned it. What area? Macedonia. All right? So it's not a city. I need to change that from city to city slash region or whatever. But anyway, so he's in Macedonia. We think that it sounds like he is just passing through. Traveling companions done. Chapter now is 20. And while in Macedonia, what did he do? What does the text say? Verse 2. When he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. So what events? He gave the disciples much exhortation. So what would the next city or area be? Greece. And what major cities are in Greece that Paul established churches in? Two big ones. One has the Areopagus. What city has the Areopagus? Mars Hill. Athens. What's the other major city? The one that he's church that he's worried about is Corinth. All right. So he's in Macedonia. He's passing through. Okay, so he's now in Greece, which is where Athens and Corinth are. How long is he there? There he is, 3 months. Very good. All right. And his traveling companions. Who are his traveling companions in Greece? A bunch of guys. I like that. That's how I've got it. A bunch. Yeah. Nate and I are on the same page. Pretty scary, Nate. A bunch of guys plus 20 in verse 4. Actually, 20 in verse 5. I should say 20 in verse 5. Who else is with him besides Sopater, Pyrrhus, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, and Trophimus? Who else is with him? Luke is. Luke is with him. And how do we know Luke is with him? Yeah, or my version says us, verse 5. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. All right? So all of the men who were traveling with Paul in verse 4, why did we say we think they're traveling with him? Normally, he's only got one or two people traveling with him. Why does he have like six or seven now? They are the ones that are representatives of the churches who gave the money. All right? Very good, Ellen. All right? Again, chapter 20. And determined to go to Syria by sea, but went by land when a plot to kill him was discovered. That's what I've got. All right? So the text says that a plot was discovered, and they sent, Paul sent his traveling companions by sea to Troas. How did Paul get there? He walked. He went by land, all right? And he ends up in Philippi, where he picks up Luke. We don't know how long he was there, traveling companions, 20. And I've got Luke joins them when they sail from Troas after the days of unleavened bread. So that the traveling companions, I got confused. The traveling companions in Greece was just those men. His traveling companions now also include, I'm getting myself confused again. From Philippi to Troas, it's just Luke because everybody else went by sea. Right, so now, as we just mentioned, he's in Troas. How long are they in Troas? Verse 6? They are there a week. They are there for 7 days. And who is his traveling companions? Well, we just kind of basically said all those men mentioned in chapter 4, plus he had picked up Luke while he was in Philippi. Chapter 20. Preached in an upper room until midnight, and Eutychus falls from the window and dies. So that's what I've got for events that happened at Troas. All right, where does he go next? One more time? Nope, someplace before that. At least what I've got anyway. Verse 13, so he goes to Assos, I guess is how you say that. But we, going ahead to the ship, set sail for Assos, intending from there to take Paul on board. He again decides he's going to walk. Apparently he needed to get his steps in, and so he sends everybody else by ship. He goes by land and gets his steps in. They're just passing through, traveling companions, everybody that was there before. Chapter 20. And what I've got down there for events is Paul travels by land to Assos while everyone else travels by sea. All right, so when they leave Assos, where do they go? Verse 14, and when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. All right, so I apologize. I am going to move on, but I will forward these to everybody. So he ends up in Mytilene. How long was he there? Yeah, he's just passing through, right? There's absolutely no indication he spent any time there at all. He met us, and we took him on board and came to Mytilene. So I've got down there just passing through. And traveling companions, again, pretty much, actually, yes. For traveling companions, copy-paste from here to the end of the chart. All right? Chapter 20 still, and basically nothing happened, so I don't have anything in events. He then ends up in, let's go with Chios. All right? Not Cheetos, Chios. All right? How long was he there? I've got passing through. You might have put down there a day, which would be totally fine. Traveling companions, the same chapter, obviously, and I've got nothing for events. Where do they go next? Where do they cross over to? Samos. Something like that. Again, passing through, same traveling companions, same chapter. Then where do they go? They bypass Ephesus. Why? Paul was in a hurry to do what? To get to Jerusalem. For what purpose? To make it for Pentecost. Festival that is 50 days after the Passover. And so they skip Ephesus and land at where? We said it earlier. Miletus, right? And so from Miletus, he calls for the elders. The elders travel by land to meet with him. As far as time there, we have no idea. You have to think it would take at least a couple of days in order for them to get there. I don't know how long it was, but, you know, let's go with a couple of days. But he doesn't really say. Same traveling companion, same chapter. And then what I put down here for events was met with the Ephesian elders to exhort and warn them of coming dangers. All right? And then the next line, I put down the next three cities or islands or areas, just so I could get everything on the same chart. So what were the next three places that he went that it mentions? Yeah, 21 verse 1. When we had parted from them and had set sail, we ran a straight course. And what do we think straight course means? Fair winds and following seas, right? Because remember when they went from, when Paul went from Troas to Philippi on the second journey, it said they ran a straight course. It only took them 2 days to get there. One to the island Samothrace, and then another day to get over to Philippi. But on the way back, it took them 5 days, right? And so that basically means that they made good passage from these islands. So we got Kos, I guess, Rhodes, and Patara. I'm going to say just passing through, same traveling companions, but now we are in chapter 21, and I have nothing for events because they were just sailing away. All right, where do they go to next? Tyre. I think somebody said Tyre. I would remind you that I am deaf. Tyre. And how long were they in Tyre? 7 days. They were there for 7 days, right? Same traveling companions, still 21. And I have down here warned by the brethren through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. All right, where do they go next? And I want to know, I want to hear how you guys say this name. Where do they go next? No, they're already in Tyre. Where do they go next? You know what? Your guess is as good as mine. I just say Ptolemais. I doubt it's Ptolemais or whatever. But anyway, Ptolemais. And how long are they there? They're there one day. Same tribe and companions. Same chapter. No events. Next, they're in Caesarea. And remember we talked a lot about Caesarea. Caesarea was built by Herod the Great. It was just an absolutely beautiful city. He built a man-made port there. It was the largest port in the Mediterranean. It was the Roman capital of that province. It was home of Pilate, home of Herod the Great when he lived there. How long were they there? What does the text say? I heard something. Many days. Many days. Okay, I think mine says some days, many days, many days, some days. Anyway, they were there just a few days. Same traveling companion, same chapter. What about events? What would you put down there that happened here? Yeah, again, telling them not to go. Who'd he stay with? He stayed with Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. All right. So what I have is stayed with Philip. Agabus prophesies about what's going to happen to Paul in Jerusalem. Okay. And where do they end up next? The end. Jerusalem, right? And this ends up being the end of his journey. Where does he normally go to end? He normally goes to Antioch, Syria, right? That's the home church, if you will, the home base. He usually will go up to Jerusalem, meet with the brethren, and then head north and go down to Antioch to give a report to them as well. But in this particular case, he does not, because he ended up getting arrested, beaten nearly to death, and then arrested in the temple. Same. And then finally, finished his journey with a report to James and the elders about what happened. All right? So there is our chart. Hopefully that is helpful for you. And I, like I said, I will send that out via email as well. All right. Now we also have the maps, right? So you should have a map, and there are more in the back, right? So you have this map. It looks something like this. I think your guys' is black and white or grayscale, whatever. So ideally what you want to do is, you know, trace from city to city to city so you have a visual. All right, you've got the chart that gives you the text, but this will give you a visual. So when you're all said and done, it should look something like that. Ideally, you want to have one color that, you know, basically goes out and another color that goes back. If you remember when we talked about it in class, I had also showed, you know, from Corinth, his traveling companions going up to Troas, but I didn't bother to add that in there. So you should have your map look something similar. Again, we don't know exactly the route that he took. I'm showing when he traveled to the Phrygian Galatian region that, you know, surely he stopped at those churches that him and Barnabas established on the first journey. So we're just guessing that that's where he went. Alrighty. Yeah. Crowd goes wild. One more chapter. All right, chapter 22. So where does Paul find himself in chapter 22? Is he in a little bit of a pickle? You might say that. Paul finds himself in a pickle a lot, doesn't he? So what's the status? Where's he at? Is he sitting on a beach somewhere with a drink in his hand, with a little umbrella drink? He is on his way. Yeah, he's on his way to the barracks, which I think is what you said, right? So he is in the temple, probably having something to do with what the elders asked him to do, right? Which was to pay for the vows that these men that were under the Nazirite vow, helped them to pay for their expenses, purify himself, to show that the lies that were said about Paul were untrue. So he's probably there for that reason. We don't know why, but that sounds reasonable. When all of a sudden, someone in the crowd says, "Hey, this guy's doing something wrong." You know, he yells at the crowd saying, "Hey, you know, men of Israel." Verse 27, when the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from Asia, upon seeing him in the temple, began to stir up all the crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." So they beat him up, probably would have killed him had it not been for the Roman soldiers. The commander goes down, tries to figure out what's going on. He can't make heads or tails of it. He picks up Paul and they drag him up over to the fortress, which is on the corner of the temple. He starts to take him up the stairs to the barracks, to the fortress Antonio. And Paul says, "Hey, can I speak to these people?" And he says, "Well, sure." Anyway, so he lets him. End of verse 21. So in verse 20, or chapter 22, then, is Paul's defense, right? And he actually says that in verse 1, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense." That word defense is where we get the word apologetic, right? Now, Paul's not apologizing for what he's done, but he's giving a defense for the faith that is within him. And Peter talks about that as well. So let's read it. 22, verse 1. "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished." So in verses 1 through 5 here, basically what Paul is doing is he's telling them, he starts off his defense, and really his defense is going to be based off of three main points, all right? His first main point is my life before. And it's not just my life before, it's I understand you. And I understand you because I was just like you. And he's going to explain exactly, number one, for those who don't know who he is, he's going to explain who he is and the kind of person that he was before now, right? When he first started out, what kind of person he was, which he's going to tell them was just like you. He starts off by trying to find some common ground with them, and he does so by speaking Aramaic, speaking Hebrew, right? So somebody who's been spending a bunch of time with Gentiles, they may have expected him to speak Greek, which they all would have understood. But he doesn't, because he considers them still his brethren. Jewish, but brethren, right? He calls them brethren and fathers, right? Or some versions will say brothers and fathers. So, brethren, fellow Jews, they are his brothers. The older men are like fathers. So, though he's a Christian, he's still a Jew by nationality. Christian by religion, Jew by nationality. You and I are Christians, but we're also Americans. Same thing for Paul. And I would remind you, somebody else started off his defense this exact same way. Who was that? Stephen did. Exact same way. Brethren and fathers. What chapter was that? Those chapter headings again. I heard somebody say something. It's chapter 7. That's correct. Yep. And I would also remind you of Paul's statement to the Romans in chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And remember, it's only been 2 or 3 months since Paul wrote to the church at Rome. When he's in Corinth for those 3 months, that's when he wrote the book of Romans. And he has just said, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, he has just said that his prayer for his brethren, for the Jews, is for them to believe, right? That they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. He gets back to Jerusalem and finds out that thousands have been converted, right? So he is setting this, I'm one of you. I'm a Jew, right? And he says, listen, I was just as zealous as you are. Look at my pedigree, right? Even though I was born a Jew, and even though it was in a Gentile city of Tarsus, I was raised here in Jerusalem at the feet of who? At Gamaliel. Have we ever heard this guy before? Yes, we have. What chapter? Chapter 5. All right? And Gamaliel was, if not the, one of the most revered rabbis of the time. And there were just a few who were given a special name. I think it was a Rabboni or something like that, right? And it was said that when he died, certain aspects of the Jewish life died with him. I mean, that's how important this guy was. And during the time of his life, he was the most important Jewish rabbi. And Paul is saying, I sat at the feet of the most revered rabbi of our time. So I am just like you. I was just as zealous, right? And just for your own records, he states something very similar, how he advanced beyond his own countrymen in Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. So he's basically telling them, hey, I was just like you are today, verse 3, right? I was so zealous for God that I persecuted the way, right? And this is not the first time we've heard this term used for Christianity. Not only did I persecute these Christians, the high priest and the Sanhedrin council can verify it, because they gave me letters giving me approval to go to foreign cities and arrest Christians and bring them back for punishment. You don't believe me? Ask them. Ask your own leaders. They will verify that I am not lying. So he didn't, and so in all of this, we find out that he didn't just play a part in Stephen's death. He also played the part in others' deaths, including women. Now, Luke doesn't record any of these events for whatever reason, but he clearly does it because we have Paul's own words telling us that he did this. And we're going to hear in a minute the second time of Paul's conversion, right? And we're going to hear about it again in chapter 26. In chapter 26, Paul says that he was furiously enraged with Christians. Right? Is Paul zealous? Is he as zealous as these people are? Yes, he is. And that's what he's trying to get across. His point is, I understand you, right? You're coming from right now where I used to be. You are, or I used to be the way you are now. But next, he's going to try to get them to understand me. I understand you. I was just like you. But now I've changed. Right? And he's going to tell them, his point is, understand where I'm coming from. Understand why I am the way I am. And this is where he's going to then say, God and the Messiah came to me. This Jesus of Nazareth, he's alive. He spoke to me. And not only that, eventually at the very end of this, we're going to see he basically is telling them, it's God and the Messiah who has told me to go to the Gentiles. Right? And with that, I am out of time. We will pick this up next week. Amen.